Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every show we teed up with our pals from Talk Radio News. The former congressman from Ohio, Bob Ney, joins us now. And Bob, you know, on this show, and certainly with the avalanche of email I'm getting, a lot of it has to do with Iran. And somebody said to me in an email today, who cares about this whole Iran situation? It doesn't matter because they have a bomb. They're going to get a bomb. We don't care about that. But I think we should care about it. Ultimately, what do you think is going to happen here? Because it looks like the agreement is to agree to what? To continue to negotiate?
Yes, they'll continue officially till tomorrow. They hope to wrap up all points today, then do the details by the final deadline, which is June. But they were trying to wrap it up today. And so by extending it till tomorrow, they are very, very close. There were literally over 100 issues. They're down to basically one or two at the most.
Wow.
If they don't get it tomorrow, then they will continue to talk till June. Now, I will tell you, though, Kate, in April, John Boehner and Lindsey Graham will do everything under the sun. John Boehner is the Speaker of the House Republican. Lindsey's in the Senate. Everything under the sun to sabotage this deal. They'll try to pass sanctions. They'll try to do everything they can do because this morning, Lindsey Graham came out and said the deal's unacceptable. Well, he hasn't seen it. So, you know, sort of like Governor Pence saying that this doesn't discriminate. He didn't read the bill. So it's the same deal. But it's a big deal because nobody in 30 years has curtailed Iran, no accountability. And so there's two choices. You either do it this way, which is the way President Obama has taken a bold step, or someday somebody has to go to war. And that will not be a pleasant sight. The Iranians are not the Iraqis. Taking Iran would be major.
Yeah, and you know Iran. You and I have talked about this before. So, and they don't want the sanctions, right? That's the whole thing. They don't want the sanctions. They need to get out of the sanctions from the Iranian point of view. That's it. Ditch the sanctions. They don't want it.
Yes, and I must mention something. Saudi Arabia and Israel are singing the same tune on Iran. Saudi Arabia fiercely opposes everything President Obama is doing to the point where they beat their fists down at the United Nations. Now, they have a different motive. It's not religious. Saudi Arabia knows that if these sanctions are undone, Iran becomes an economic power beyond the wildest dreams in the Mideast, and it hurts Saudi Arabia economically. We'll open up markets like we used to have with Iran. They do want our goods. And they want those sanctions gone. But I also have to point out all these years of we sanction them and we sanction everything except the air in Tehran. And they still continue to, you know, survive. Now they'd rather not have them, but they want to come back into the Western world. They've had a change in leadership. And so President Obama has been up against the odds, but they are very, very close.
All right, so very, very close. And you know, when you talk about being up against the odds, of course, the threat, we talked about this before, was this is 2 years, and then in 2 years it's a new administration, and that was the Republicans sending the letter. Do you think the White House has, I mean, behind closed doors, that they're still muttering under their breath for what the Republicans did there?
Oh, I believe so, and If this goes down and we actually start to verify what Iran is doing instead of guessing or letting them just go about the way they want to, you know, which is not good for the world, if this comes down, it would be extremely difficult, including a Republican president, it would be extremely difficult to go back and say, okay, we're going to undo all this and play Russian roulette with Iran creating a bomb.
Yeah. It would be Russian roulette. No question about that. All right. Speaking of a different kind of roulette, Senator Chuck Grassley, easy for me to say after five cups of coffee, is not going to let Hillary wiggle out of this whole email thing is what he's saying. He's saying she violated the law and that she could be charged in the email case, and he's going to try to do everything he can. And then there's the story about the emails might still be recoverable. Wow. So this is still an ongoing mystery, isn't it?
Well, yes. Well, Congressman Gowdy is giving her till May 1st. Now, the way I read the article, which was very confusing today, but Congressman Gowdy, the head of the Select Committee, is calling her officially to come to the committee, but it looks like it's going to be closed door. He has five questions he wants her to answer, and it's about, you know, when did you do this? Did you turn that over? Then he said, based on how she answers that, he may ask her to come publicly. So I'm assuming this is private by May the 1st. So he's after that. The one thing I would point out, and I'm not pretending to be a legal expert, but I would say I cannot understand where anyone says that she violated the law. Now, cleaning the server out at this point in time, probably not a good move, because why wait till all this time, you know, to do it? It raises speculation. Having the same email account was probably bad judgment. I'm sure she wishes she wouldn't have. But as far as violating the law, I can't understand where they're coming from on that. Colin Powell never had a public server. Neither did, a public server. Neither did Condoleezza Rice. And the president's rule was you could still have a private server if you archived. So this whole violating of the law, I would bet my car they will never be able to get even near charging Hillary Clinton with something that is not a violation of the law. It might have not been the smartest thing to do, but I can't see legally where he's coming from.
Yeah, and as you said, you know, we'll see. May 1st, the House committee asking Hillary to testify. May 1st. Wow. This other thing here with Mike Pence, the governor of Indiana. Now you have Charles Barkley saying we shouldn't play the Final Four in Indiana. And you have other people withdrawing from going to the Final Four because they're saying we're not going to participate in what's happening there. He had kind of I guess you'll call it a press conference where he defended what was going on and, said he would take a look at what was said in the law. And then you have something else that falls off the table where Arkansas passes a religious freedom law. So are these states going to have to go through and figure out what it really means?
Well, you know, this is like the copycat thing. Things happen in threes.
Yeah.
Now, Georgia canceled theirs today. They put it at bay instead of another state. But here's the bottom line of Mike Pence. And I served in Congress with Mike Pence. He's usually more prepared than this because I do know how he operates. But first of all, this does not mirror what Bill Clinton signed by any stretch of imagination in 1993. Yes, it has parts of it, but it doesn't mirror it because that law, the national law, in fact, had the usual guaranteed non-discriminatory age, gender, et cetera. Now, it doesn't also mirror, Governor Spence said, the Illinois law that Barack Obama voted for because it has a different provision that makes a wide-open brush. Also, the Indiana law targets a business and says it's a person. They use the Hobby Lobby Supreme Court case where Hobby Lobby is a person and can spend campaign contributions. So they made it a person. So when Governor Spence did his Sunday talk shows and defended this to the hilt, and it was asked eight times one easy question that gave him ground to stand on if he'd have answered it. Does this discriminate against gays and lesbians? He refused eight times to answer that. Now, this afternoon, the governor is saying, I want something on my desk to clarify this by next Friday. Because businesses right and left across the country are saying, Indiana, we're not dealing with it.
Yeah, wow. And we'll see if any others pop up. It is crazy. It's like whack-a-mole. And it wasn't as it appeared, because to me at first it was like, well, what's the big deal? I don't understand. But then it's typical. It's why you have to read. You have to read what the legislation is, because then you know what it really means. That's the problem.
That's right.
All right. Bob Ney, always fun with you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. When you call, you get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you've been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.
America Tonight, a conversation with Harlan Ullman, a guy who was a Navy commander and knows his way around the Middle East like hardly anyone I've ever met in my life. He's probably one of the best authorities on what's happening just across the board, whether it's Yemen we're talking about or Iran, any place that's part of the Middle East that have the Saudis and whatnot. And joining us in our next segment to talk about the quicksand of the Middle East, starting with Iran and comments about dropping a bomb on Iran that John Bolton made and then taking it from there. But in the meantime, in a couple of other directions on the show, a few quick housekeeping notes. Don't forget, coming up in our next version of America Tonight, we have Dumb Things I Shouldn't Have Done. Because I say that because so many of you are trying to get me your dumb things. I love it. It's just become one of the number one things in the email and when I check it in the morning. And of course, we can't go through all the dumb things every single week. I just have to pare them out and then I'll get to yours. If you sent me something, don't worry, I've seen it and it'll probably make air. It's just that we are backed up because so many people are anxious to tell us about the dumb things that they shouldn't have done. And this week, there's a slew of them that are incredibly creative, and I can see them happening. Something with a garage door and something with garbage, but I'm not going to dive into it. You'll get to hear some of those on our next version of America Tonight. So you heard that we were talking a little bit there about the governor of Indiana, Mike Pence, and you know, to me, and I said this in the previous show, from what I initially thought was that there was no understanding, really, of what was in the law, meaning it wasn't any kind of a discrimination tactic by Pence, that wasn't buried deep in what this law was going to mean. But, you know, because remember, he's a first-time governor. So he's trying to do what he can to stop the backlash that they've been facing in Indiana since he signed the law. And there are a lot of people that are saying they're going to boycott the Final Four. There are major corporations like Apple and Walmart and Salesforce that say they're against Indiana's law, and they're threatening to pull whatever they can. So there's a lot of criticism happening. And, you know, it was interesting because even the billionaire investor Warren Buffett, he was on CNN and he said that he hasn't read the law, but it poses discrimination. That's been some of what the comments are, you know, by saying, I know I haven't read it. I've heard some of the discussion, and to that extent, it couldn't, if it's in any way prejudicial to gays or lesbians, I would oppose it. And see, this is what's interesting, because so many people are being asked about the law, but they don't know what the law says. They don't know what the law means. White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest blasted Pence. He didn't do it the first time. He didn't do it on Monday. He did it on Tuesday, saying the governor tried to falsely suggest that this was, that Indiana's law simply mirrors a federal religious freedom law signed by President Clinton. And he said it's not true because the Indiana law is a much more open-ended piece of legislation that could reasonably be used to try to justify discriminating against somebody because of who they love, saying that business leaders can do what they want to do. I mean, they can subject their customers or their employees to discrimination because of it. So now the avalanche continues to rain down on Indiana. And like I said, a lot of people are being asked how they feel about it, what they think about it, and meaning those that are running, and they're saying they haven't read the law in some cases. So how about that? I mean, it's a raw, raw, raw nerve in Indiana. They're a year away from a Republican proposal to amend the state's constitution to ban same-sex marriage. And this is probably part of it that got wrapped into what the feeling is when it comes to this law, because that, knowing that's coming down the pike, that the language is complicated. And, you know, Pence said he opposes adding sexual orientation to the list of Indiana's protected categories under state anti-discrimination law. So I think that there's going to be more problems ahead for Pence, probably. It's not clear. The language in the law was vague for some people, but because of the challenges that are happening next year, that just adds to, okay, this is another thing that's happening here. They're being piled on. That's what they're doing. And I think that with the Final Four so close, we may see a few people that aren't there for the Final Four. I'm not suggesting the teams, but there might be some others who had intended to go, and now they've completely changed their mind because of that. And which, by the way, Arkansas, as we said there, also popped up on this law, and there's some other states that are looking at it the same way. And it goes to the, what does it read? What does it read? Because if it's about religious freedom, well, then you can say, well, yeah, there's been some problems with religion. There's been some crazy challenges that don't make any sense. And is that truly the nugget? Or no, is it a way to dance around the whole same sex marriage thing, which is now will go up the flagpole to the Supreme Court, which we knew exactly what was going to happen there. We knew that was going to happen. All right, so the ending is foggy, but the ending is very foggy, like we were talking as well with Bob, to this whole email thing. You have this congressional panel that's investigating the Benghazi attacks, and then you've got this committee asking Hillary to testify on emails by May 1st. And then you have Chuck Grassley, as I mentioned, heavily going after Hillary Clinton, but to what end? I mean, you can spend as much taxpayer dough, I think, as you want on trying to hunt down what you think you might find in Hillary Clinton's email closet, but I don't see it. I think that they dump so many of them, and even if they have a way to get to them, I don't know that anything's going to be learned that's going to be so incredibly damaging. I think if anything, more salacious than damaging. And how they scrub it and how they get that will be interesting to see, because there are a lot of people in Washington that are just ringing that bell. Got to get Hillary Clinton's emails. That's the problem. Have to get the emails. Why did she have a private account? Why wasn't a State Department account? Doesn't make any sense. And what do you think, in a way, you know, when this came out? Innocent mistake or on purpose? It's easier to ask for what? Forgiveness rather than permission. So you don't go the normal email route. Some others hadn't done that in the past. So you don't do it, and then it comes back and it bites you, or might bite her. I still say there's a way to wiggle out of it, and I think that that happens. Or if, when they find the emails that they want, whatever they think they're going to find, the emails they don't find, what would sink her battleship? They don't find that piece of evidence that's overwhelming and so incredibly damaging that it flips her campaign on its head and leads to somebody else getting the Democratic nomination. But I think we're five steps in front of ourselves, because you know how slowly anything uber controversial is. This will drag out like the Mississippi mud when there hasn't been very much rain. I mean, it's going to just drag on. Absolutely. Until finally it's give up time. Okay, we're not getting what we want, and how many times can we hit them over the head with this, and then boom, that's it. Hillary Clinton's going to be the Democratic nominee. Make no mistake of it, barring some kind of a unforeseen accident. But this is something that she's wanted. I say this every night. She's wanted for a long time. I know people close to the Clintons, and this isn't a shock to anyone in her camp. Not a shock to 6 degrees of separation to anybody who's been around the Clintons. This has been discussed for a very, very long time. All right, you don't want to miss our next conversation. Everything that is the quicksand in the Middle East, next on America Tonight. All right.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy.
So all right, I'll be back in the next segment.
About him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Have you noticed that in a disaster, the store shelves are emptied? Don't panic. You don't have to be part of the fear and chaos if you have a supply of GoFoods. GoFoods can help you rest easy knowing your greatest dependency of food is covered. Call now to take advantage of our Freedom Packs or set up your food savings account. Call us at 1-800-648-9753 or on the web at www.storefoodnow.com. That's 1-800-648-9753 or www.storefoodnow.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HDTV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Welcome back to America Tonight. He's one of my favorites. Harlan Ullman joins us now. He's chairman of the Kellowin Group that advises leaders of government and business. He's chairman of Seeing Guard Limited and et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, it goes much deeper than that. If you look at his background, a former naval man, he commanded destroyers as well as swift boats in Vietnam and over 150 combat patrols and actions. He's got a couple of great books out as well. We'll mention them as we go through this. But, Harlan, thanks for coming back on America Tonight.
Always a pleasure.
The big news is Iran, and what's going to happen now with Iran is they went through and really chucked a lot of things, for lack of a better way to describe it, off the table, and it's down to just a few nitty-gritty things as to whether or not there's going to be an agreement. And then John Bolton, the former ambassador to the UN, says, you know, we should have just bombed them. Wow, what was up with that comment? And I know you had a pretty swift reaction to it.
Well, I thought that his commentary was both outrageous and derelict. There may be a time when we have to consider bombing Iran. I think it would be catastrophic for a lot of reasons. But when you make an advocacy piece that really wants to take us to war against a country, John Bolton should know better than anybody. Going back to 2003 and the March invasion into Iraq, nobody asked the what next question. And the problem with Bolton's argument, aside from the fact that it's nutty, is that he never raised the consequences of what military action would mean. And it seems to me that that is just outrageously irresponsible. You have to take a look that if we have no other option, and I hope we will never get there, but if we are to attack Iran, Iran has a vote in this. They will see that as a declaration of war, and they have many options, from using Hezbollah in Lebanon to attack Israel to using the Shiite militias in Iraq to bring Iraq closer to Iran to attack Americans, to attacking possibly Bahrain, which has a Shia majority, to threatening to close the Strait of Hormuz, which I guarantee you will cause the price of oil to spike overnight, which is to the benefit of Russia, and of course to Iran. So you need to consider all of those particular issues, and then after you attack, what comes next? And I think that's one way the administration here would believe that if we did make an attack, Iran, despite what it has said about never wanting to have nuclear weapons, the administration believes that if we did attack, then that would almost guarantee Iran would go on a path to achieve nuclear weapons at some stage. And are we prepared to launch a series of attacks that go on forever to keep Iran from using nuclear weapons? So I think Bolton's argument is misguided, it's dangerous, it's one-sided, and it should be entirely disregarded.
And for Iran, they want to make this happen, right? No matter what we're reading and trying, you know, what's being said in between the lines, because of the sanctions. They want to shake the sanctions, right?
Well, in part, but you got to realize that Iran fought an 8.5-year war with Iraq in which it had about 1 million of its people killed in battle. And so they're pretty tough. You have to remember that they also are Persians. The Persian Empire goes back 5,000 years, and there's a degree of pride. And we have to understand that we're dealing with a very, very proud country. The Iranians believe that they have the right for peaceful use of nuclear energy, which they believe means that they can enrich. The Non-Proliferation Treaty, of which they are a signature, does not guarantee explicitly the right to enrich, but it does say you have nuclear power, and Iran has read that to mean that they can enrich. That is clearly one of the issues, because enriched uranium, obviously, if it's enriched enough, can produce nuclear materials that can be used in a bomb, and nobody wants Iran to have a bomb. So that clearly is one of the sticking issues. So is the rate of pace of reducing the sanctions.
Harlan, I want to jump around here a little bit in the Middle East.
Sure.
I call it the quicksand of the Middle East, because we just never know what direction. I guess we do know, but we're moving in a lot of different directions. So now we've got Yemen and dealing with what's happening there, which is the massive hornet's nest, really, for terrorism, different factions involved in terroristic training and opportunities and that kind of thing. How dangerous is Yemen, in your opinion, of every place that we look at on the map in the Middle East?
We need to step back, and we haven't done that. Everybody is breathless saying this is the most dangerous time in American history since World War II, from the Mediterranean all the way to the Bay of Bengal and Pakistan, Afghanistan, and India. People are saying this is just horrible. Let me recall a little bit of history to put this in perspective. 1946, Stalin and the Soviet Union began gobbling up Eastern European countries after World War II. Churchill came to Fulton, Missouri, to the Truman Library and said an iron curtain has descended. 1947, India was granted independence and there was partition with Pakistan, and over 1 million people were killed in the subsequent riots. In 1948, Israel became formed as a state, and that war is still going on with the Palestinians and Arabs. And in 1949, Mao took over China, turning it into Red China, defeating Chiang Kai-shek. And guess what? The Soviet Union got the bomb. Now, I can recount history since that period to tell you that there are times that have been just as dangerous as before, or even more dangerous. But I'm afraid that the press and the media, and indeed the politicians, have hyped the situation. Now, the situation is quite serious. Don't let me downplay that. And it is exceedingly serious, even existential, to the states that you mentioned, including Yemen. Look what's happening in Syria, nearly 250,000 people killed. And so that's really quite serious. But the difference is that we do not have one side against the other. World War II, it was the Allies against the Nazis and the fascist Japanese. During the Cold War, it was the West versus the Soviet Union. And now what's happened is that there really is no competitor to the United States because of the twin powers, of the twin forces, of the diffusion of power and globalization. What's happened is the world has become more interconnected and power has diffused away from states. And so now you see more actors who are fighting to gain power. And we have not accommodated to a situation in which for the last 60 years
we were the key country and what we had to say was really important. Now we have to learn to operate more subtly. I'll give you an example. The Arab countries are trying to form a military force. I think that is terribly important. That force is being poo-pooed in the West because Arabs can't fight, they can't get together. But on the other hand, it's up to the Arabs to solve their own program and problems. My point here, very simply, is that we have to realize that the nature of international politics has changed. We are no longer the country that can call all the shots. We have to deal with others. And given the media, given the nature of our politics, it's increasingly difficult for us to do so because people are going to say, how can you possibly tolerate Yemen? Well, I got bad news for you. We tolerated over 1 million Cambodians being slaughtered in the 1970s. We allowed the Rwandans and the Congolese to slaughter millions in the 1990s. We cannot be every place, everywhere, and we have to learn to deal more subtly with other countries, other states, and other power centers. That is exceedingly difficult because no party which is in power, whichever steps it takes, is going to be criticized for doing or not doing what the party out of power calls for. But we need an entirely different approach to deal with these issues, in which we need to steal a page from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police unofficial motto of never send a man where you can send a bullet. That is to say, we have to have allies and surrogates and friends do a lot of the heavy lifting. And this will amaze you, but when Richard Nixon was president in 1969, Nixon issued the Nixon Doctrine, in which the United States said it would be responsible for the strategic balance with the Soviet Union and China, and regional states had to take greater steps to secure their own safety and their own interest. And that's exactly what we need right now. It's up to local states. We cannot fix the Muslim world. We cannot fix the Arab world. It's up to them, but we can help. And we've not made that intellectual or operational transition to the need for a new mindset, which I call for in my latest book, A Handful of Bullets, to accommodate the 21st century.
I so agree with that. So well said. I hope everyone's listening in those nooks and crannies across America to America Tonight and paid attention to what Harlan had to say there. So tell us about A Handful of Bullets. Tell us more about that. You segged into that.
Yeah, a book has just come out. It was written to coincide with the 100th anniversary of the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand and his wife. It's called A Handful of Bullets, How the Murder of Archduke Franz Ferdinand Still Menaces the Peace. And as people know from the history, on June 28, 1914, the Archduke and his wife were assassinated in Sarajevo. From that, World War I started in August, and from World War I, the seeds for World War II and the Cold War were sown. But I stepped back for a minute and said, okay, are we missing anything? Has something happened here? And from those factors, it seemed to me that four new horsemen of the apocalypse have been created to menace mankind. The first is failed and failing government. We have that here in Washington as well as in Kabul in Afghanistan or in Damascus in Syria. Failed government is really the root of the problem for most countries and most people around the world. Second is economic disparity and dislocation. The World Bank tells us that 30% of the population lives under $2 a day. That can never work. The third horseman is radical ideology in the form of religious extremism. We're seeing that with Daesh, the Islamic State. We're seeing it with Al-Qaeda. And fourth is environmental catastrophe. We're seeing it with climate change. We're seeing it with Ebola and other pandemics. And so, therefore, we need to focus on dealing with the causes and corralling these four horsemen. And the book is divided into three parts. One, it describes how these evolved. It describes what our current and future problems are. And then lastly, the last third comes up with recommendations all the way from a new strategic mindset to mandatory voting to passing the Trans-Pacific and the Transatlantic Trade Pacts to putting in place a national infrastructure bank to deal with our failing infrastructure. I live in a fourth world city in Washington, D.C. I like to say there's a pothole outside of my house that goes all the way to China. But also down to almost seemingly funny issues. For example, nobody in Congress, with one exception, and that was the Homeland Security Bill, nobody understands a bill on which they're voting, and yet they vote on it. So I would like to have a law that requires every member of Congress, before they vote on a bill, they affirm or swear that they have read and understood it. That would go a long way, I think, in reconciling some of these problems and helping to fix a broken government.
We got to fly. Harlan Ullman, thanks so much for coming on the show. We'll talk to you again.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Attention, taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. When you call, you get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you've been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
It's tough to hide when you're Tiger Woods. We may know the answer as to whether he'll play in this year's Masters or not. I'm the Sports Princess, and this is Sports Shorts.
Hi, this is Stacey Lewis, defending champion of the LPGA North Texas Shootout. Come out to see the best women golfers in the world compete at Las Colinas Country Club in Irving, Texas, April 29th through May 3rd. Thanks to our partnership with Kroger, we are offering discounted tickets. Be sure to purchase yours today at checkout. Children 18 years and younger get in free with a ticketed adult. For more information, visit ntshootout.com. That's ntshootout.com.
It's tough to hide when you're Tiger Woods. We may know the answer as to whether he'll play in this year's Masters or not. I'm the Sports Princess, and this is Sports Shorts. The likelihood of Tiger playing the Masters just got better as his plane was spotted at Augusta, Georgia's regional airport. There have been loads of speculation about the world's former number one player, who hasn't played since February 5th at the Farmers Insurance Open, ultimately having to withdraw from that tournament. The four-time Masters champ and huge draw still with the crowds hasn't said if he's playing. For the first time since 1996, he is ranked outside of the top 100, prompting him to say in the beginning of March he wouldn't play if he wasn't tournament ready. I have a hunch he was practicing and just might be there trying to make the Masters cut next week. I'm Kate Delaney, and that's Sports Shorts.
All right, so you heard
heard the conversation there. A little sports segment for you. Tiger and whether or not he's going to play in the Masters. He did play Augusta. He is definitely the big question mark, though, as to whether he's going to be there for the Masters or not. And Tiger Woods is just one of those guys. He still transcends the game of golf. When Tiger Woods is in it, people are paying even more attention. If you ever have been to a golf tournament in your life and Tiger Woods was in that golf tournament, and I have been to many of them, it is like an army, kind of to borrow Arnie's army. It's like Arnie's army, even bigger, because now more people are at these tournaments. And it's crazy how deep the crowd will be. So he did played an 18-hole practice round on Tuesday. And he hasn't played competitively, as I said, since February, the beginning of February, and said that there were problems with his game. But he is trying to come back. He is trying to be there for the Masters. And, you know, if he's at tournament level, I guess he will be there. But he skipped tournaments he normally would have played. The tune-ups for a course like, you know, Augusta and competing in the Masters. So, and it's crazy, too. In January, he shot his highest score as a pro. It was like 82. And he's out of the top 100. He's 104 in the world, and that's the lowest that we've seen him since, I mean, having to go all the way back to 1996. Wow. That's a long time to be in the top 100, and most of that time he was way up the ladder in the top 10. So anyway, if he does play next week, it's his longest layoff going into the Masters since 2010 when he tied for fourth. But numbers don't lie. I mean, if he plays in the tournament and he is lurking and he is playing well, there is always a chance that Tiger Woods can pounce on you. That's just the way it is. Yeah, you know, he transcends, like I said, he still is a guy who transcends the game of golf. There's absolutely no question about it. In the meantime, if your brackets are still alive, oh yes, and I know some of you, I say this, and I guess I don't even really have to qualify it, but I have had a lot of people ask me what I think of the games and who's going to win, and I believe Kentucky is the team of destiny, but now when you get down to these four teams, and last year, beating Wisconsin by just a point, certainly Wisconsin is capable of beating Kentucky, of rolling on. Of course they're capable of winning. If they win, you know, if Wisconsin wins, then the dream ends for Kentucky. If Kentucky wins and moves on, what an incredible feat. 40 straight wins. On the road to cutting down the nets and hoisting, you know, college's biggest trophy, college hoop-wise, anyway. I mentioned the controversy coming out of Indiana and what the governor's dealing with. So here's one of the big impacts after last Thursday, what happened, that law that Pence signed that allows for private businesses to refuse service to, you know, lots of different people and including gay people. So that's how this whole thing came up, I guess, in reading it deeper. And the NCAA quickly put out a statement saying they were concerned about the law and saying that it's, you know, because their headquarters is there, that they could sever their ties with the state, saying they could, that could be it. Then you had the Big Ten a day later saying that it's, institutions believe in promoting an inclusive environment where athletic competition can operate free from discrimination. So the College Football Playoff Committee members were supposed to meet in Indianapolis this week, the same, you know, where the Final Four is, and one of the committee members is not going to be there. The USC athletic director, Pat Hayden, says, yeah, I'm not going because of this religious freedom law. He says that he has a son who's gay, and because of his son, he says, I will not be attending the CFP committee meeting in Indy. I won't do it. And then he had a hashtag, embrace diversity. So it's certainly going to get worse for Indiana with some of the comments and some of the considerations of potentially seeing a pullout of sports like the NBA saying that.
Well, the NCAA, there's a coaches convention, I guess, held with the NC, the Final Four, and the UConn basketball coaches are not going now.
Yeah, I think every day, Matt, I think that's going to get, for people listening too, I think that's going to get worse.
Right.
Because one domino happens and then more happen, and especially with Hayden saying he wasn't going to go, and that really opened the floodgates. So that there may be a quick reversal there. I'm not sure what Pence will do. He said he was going to look at it, but they signed it into law, so I don't know. I mean, that could be part of the whole process for the legislature there, but I think they're gonna have to come up with something or just risk losing all these different sporting events, which is a possibility because there are a lot of things that happen in Indiana just across the state in general. Whether you're talking about professional golf tournaments for the LPGA, for the PGA, whether you're talking about the NBA, there's
Super Bowl
big nuggets
there. There's the NFL Combine that is always held in Indianapolis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you remember before in Arizona, the NFL kind of put the hammer down on Arizona when they were hosting the Super Bowl about the whole, immigration law that they were trying to put through.
Right. So the controversy could end up biting them in a lot of directions, and especially monetarily, because when you have some of these events, or just even the caliber of some of the people that we're talking about coming in, you know, they dump some money. They get hotel rooms, and that's part of what it's about. They book up all the hotel rooms, and restaurants are full, and certainly that's the whole idea of the Final Four. It'll be crazy jammed. They can't move the Final Four, or they're not going to move the Final Four with it literally days away. But other groups around it are saying that, and it's a big deal. Even the MAC conference, somebody called me this morning. You know, I went to Ohio University to say, did you see what happened with the good old Mac? And because of everything that's happened once that law kicked in, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act is the actual name of it, the Mac commissioner, John Steinbrecher, said his conference isn't going to hold any of those meetings, like Matt was saying, or conference championships in the state of Indiana until they amend or appeal it. So they're not going to schedule any of those meetings until what Steinbrecher is saying, until the current matter is brought to a sensible conclusion or a sensible and appropriate conclusion. And there's a lot at stake. The conference holds its football conference championship game in Detroit, there in Michigan. So now there's talk of, well, what could they shift? And the only thing scheduled by the MAC to happen in Indiana is the annual president's meeting in January or February of 2016. And that they say if the meetings will be held elsewhere if no changes are made to the state laws. Wow. Have any thoughts? You can send them to me, americatonight.net. Thanks for listening.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Norrie, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit brightsidebend.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Bend team. Go to brightsidebend.com. That's brightsidebend.com.